funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
Oh, bonus episode. Later.
Okay, part two. So, where we last left off, Sam, that's me, had a mysterious leak or flood or something that would always show up in my apartment.
In the middle of your floor.
In the middle of the floor. There's no runoff from anywhere. There's no leak from the ceiling. And I have no idea where this is coming from. And these two wonderful ladies told me I'm being haunted. And so I don't like that.
And we spoke to a plumber yesterday who gave us some pretty sound advice.
Right.
But I don't believe him at all. I don't believe his educated advice.
Let me hang up the phone, please.
Okay, so here is, you press that, and then you press that.
Okay, so now we have to call him.
Yeah.
So we're going to call Jason Hawes from Ghost Hunters, the huge show on Sci-Fi. He's nice enough to talk to us.
He's very cute.
He is very cute.
He is, in like a smoldering kind of way.
And his beard.
Also a trained plumber.
No.
Yes, that's
no,
why he's not.
No.
That's why we're talking to him.
I thought we were talking to him from the paranormal. He's got all...
He's a ghost hunter and a plumber. He's literally my dream man.
Hold on. This.
He can speak to the paranormal and also fix my pipes.
Okay, so we got him.
Yay!
So we have Jason Hawes, who you probably know from Ghost Hunters, which was the longest running reality show on Sci-Fi.
I can't watch because I'm too afraid, but that's my own problem.
It is the show. It's the only show I've ever owned physical DVD copies of, because it's that good. So Jason, thank you so much for being on with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So here's the issue, Jason. Our Sam here has a leak or a puddle of water in her home.
I gotta explain this thing.
Okay, here's what's going on.
Stay with me, man. Okay, so my apartment has a puddle of water that shows, I can only say it appears because there's never any trace of it coming from anywhere, once every 2 weeks or so. It's in the middle of my hardwood floor. There, I run my fingers like around it. It's not coming from the kitchen or the wall. There's no leak above me. There's nothing in the wall behind it. And it just shows up in the middle, like in the middle of the night or in the morning. It's just there. No trace of splatter. And what really started to freak me out was it happened 3 mornings in a row. And I heard it before I saw it the last time. Like, I was walking to the bathroom. It was pitch black in my apartment. And I heard, and I turned the light on, and the sound stopped. Bethany and Kathleen are looking at me like I'm crazy because I didn't tell them this part
yet. You didn't mention this.
No, the sound completely stopped, and the puddle was there. What is going on in my life?
And Jason, the reason that you're perfect for this is because not only do you have mad experience with the paranormal, but your background is also in plumbing.
Unreal.
Which is just the most perfect thing ever.
Besides being a paranormal investigator, I work for Roto-Rooter, and I'm a plumbing guy. But all right, so what floor are you on in this apartment?
I'm on the 4th floor. There's no one above me.
All right, but there's people below you, and the water lines run through floors and everything, too. So have you talked to the person downstairs to see if they have any marks on their ceilings or anything like that?
No, not yet. I should do that today, but if someone had a flood, wouldn't they, like, the first thing you do is go to the upstairs neighbor?
Well, it all depends. In an apartment, you've got water lines that run under the floor below you because they're also feeding the apartments below you as well. And water will follow a joist. So if it gets on a joist and the joist is angled the least bit, it'll follow that pitch and find the lowest part of that joist. It's definitely weird for it to be showing up smack dab in the middle of the floor. And at late hours, while everything is really at minimum use, it would be the ideal time for something to show up, though. Because you got to remember, when you're running water during the day, you're relieving the pressure out of the system. But at night, nobody's using anything. That's when pressure builds in the system. That's a lot of times when the rings around toilets will leak and the water will run right down the actual toilet line and find the lowest point and appear in that area.
But so, would it also be possible if a ghost killed themselves on a block of ice?
Kathleen and I really want it to be a poltergeist who killed himself on a block of ice.
That there alone, I want plumbing problems.
Well, All right. So a poltergeist is usually where the movie made it seem like most, like it's all these spirits that are creating the activity. 9 out of 10 times, a poltergeist actually involves a child of the female gender, and they're manifesting the activity themselves. So now, is it possible that water appearing is a sign of some sort of paranormal activity? Absolutely, because water, there's nothing negative about water. Water is the sign of life.
Very interesting.
Oh, if you think about it, it takes water to sustain life, and no matter where. So, and they use water for everything, right down to non-demonic possession with holy water and so forth. So water is usually a positive aspect when it comes down to things like that.
So if it's a ghost, it's a friendly ghost.
Well, usually there'd be more signs of something going on, some sort of paranormal activity. Are doors opening and closing? Are you hearing voices at night? Are you hearing walking? Has there been any other thing that might lead you down the path to think that it's possibly a ghost?
I mean, I occasionally hear the creaky floorboard, but I just always assumed it was the roommate. Like, my apartment is not, this is wonderful. My apartment is not very new. So whenever my roommate or I are walking around, you just always hear creak, creak, creak anywhere. So yes, but I never thought that was a weird thing. Side note, I found out that there was a big fire in my building once that caused the, because I went to install like a hanging chair from the ceiling, and the handyman said he couldn't do it because the ceiling was not like an original. It had been replaced. It wouldn't hold. And then when I spoke to the people who own the building, they said, yeah, it was a long time ago. There was a huge fire. And they had to do a lot of rebuilding. I don't like this conversation.
I like it a lot.
Did anybody lose their life in the fire? Or?
I didn't ask, and I wasn't told.
We should go to diedinhouse.com and see if someone died in your house.
That's a thing?
.com.
That's a domain?
Yeah.
Yeah, jeez. That actually is, which is surprising. It's popped up over the last 2 years.
Yeah, but, Jason, have you ever put your own home in there?
No, actually, we used to own a hotel up in New Hampshire, in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, that we bought because it was haunted. It's been haunted for about 100-150 years. So I love locations like that. If it has paranormal activity, I feel more at home.
Same, I'm with you.
I've actually invited things to come and haunt my house, but nothing's shown up. So.
No!
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
Sam is very angry at you.
I've been on cases where we were on a case in Pawtucket at a mill where people claimed that it was the spirit of a child. You know, we had all this crazy activity going on in a place called Slater Mill. We had all this crazy activity coming and going on. And I invited, I said, hey, you know what? If you're welcome to follow me home, to come hang out. You know, I've got kids and so forth. And just trying to connect with it.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
These things aren't scary to me. It's more just intriguing. It's looking for the answers, the explanation. The scariest thing about a haunting is the fact that you might walk around the corner and see somebody you don't know standing there, or somebody might walk through a wall. And I don't know if you know why these things have been known to walk through walls, but I can explain that if you'd like.
Sure.
All right,
gosh.
So think of it this way. If you have a house and there's a doorway in this area, all right, so, and somebody lives there and they spend their entire life walking through that doorway. Now that person passes on, you buy the house, you fix it, you change it, you decide, I'm going to put a wall there, I'm going to move the door down here. Now, the energy from that person who is there, it becomes a residual type haunting if it haunts the location. That residual haunting is energy that remembers, it follows the same path that it remembers. So it would come down, it would still walk down the hallway and walk through where the original door was.
Where
an intelligent haunting, like you and I, after we pass, we would come down, we'd realize that somebody moved the door, and we would walk through it because we're an intelligent haunt. We're able to communicate back and forth. Mm-hmm. The residual haunt is just like a tape player rewinding and playing itself over and over again. A lot of times it's attached to something at the location, whether it be a piece of furniture, or it could be part of the foundation of the furniture. A lot of times you see those where there's high limestone deposits.
So it's I'm going to feel like such an idiot. I was just going to say it's treatable.
It's treatable.
It's solvable. The fact of the matter is you'd have to find out what the energy was attached to and remove that from the location.
Theoretically, if I visited Sam's apartment with said puddle and invited something to come into her house, how would one go about that?
Well, but you're terrified of the haunting, right?
I am. Sam right, is. So, Kathleen's
so honestly,
intrigued.
Let's be honest. If you visited her apartment, you'd probably leave a puddle.
Well, Sam,
true story.
Sam would leave a puddle.
But how does one open their home for paranormal guests to come and visit them?
Well, if you're looking to make contact and stuff, honestly, as the people who own the house, you could sit around and try to make contact, see if something's there. You could also set up cameras. All right, so most activity happens between the hours of 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. Now, the big reason for that is that's when people are home. That's when the house is at the quietest, the house is at the darkest, and so forth. Because most spirit activity that people claim to see are entities that emit their own light. So they can show up even in darkness. That's when people will see them. So a lot of times, late at night, from those hours, you can set up a digital recorder. You can set up a IR camera and see what you're able to document during those hours when the house is at the quietest, because you don't have to really worry about the contamination you're creating, because the chances are you're asleep through most of it.
I'm going to be honest. There's no way I am doing that.
So what I told...
No!
I'll do it for you.
We'll do it for you. So what I told Sam to do is put flour around the puddle in
that's
all
actually,
directions.
That's actually a good idea. Absolutely. Yeah, that way you're able to see if there's any footsteps walking up to it.
No, because you know Jason. What happened? No, let's say that does happen, and I wake up for my morning radio job at 3:30 in the morning, which I just found out is prime time for this guy.
Sure is.
And I see that in my living room. There's no good way for this to end for me.
It might be hooves.
Bethany.
Well, it could be. Yeah, I mean, if you see that there's only three toes on it, I'd probably pack my stuff and head out.
I am so close to crying. I'm so glad you guys are enjoying.
You really? Oh my god, you really are.
This is so scary to me.
Okay, so Jason, so what you're saying is, it's probably likely that it's an actual plumbing problem. She should talk to her neighbor downstairs.
It's more likely that it's a plumbing issue than anything else. The water is somehow following a joist, and that's where it's puddling up. Chances are, and I'll be honest with you, hon, I've investigated the paranormal for 30 years, and I work hand in hand with law enforcement and numerous religious organizations. So I get sent into... I handle all these human-type haunting cases, but I also get sent into inhuman-type haunts where people believe somebody is possessed, the house has a demonic entity in it. And I can tell you that 99% of those have nothing to do with the paranormal. There's no spirit, there's no demon. The 1%, less than 1% is definitely intriguing, and it falls within that realm. But I've been perfectly fine for 25, 30 years, so you really don't have anything to worry about when it comes down to it. I know a lot of shows out there, a lot of things out there, TV, movies, and so forth, all try to make it a fearful thing, a terrifying thing. But in the U.S., we're one of the only countries that actually look at it as a terrifying thing. Most other countries,
really,
they enjoy it. In Ireland and England, if you don't have a haunted house, you're sort of the weird person on the block.
Bethany's gonna move.
I loved Ireland for a reason.
Exactly, but so many other countries look at it in a positive aspect when these spirits are around. It's the ancestors, it's the history, and so forth. We're one of the only countries that look at it as this terrifying thing, which there's no reason to be terrified.
That's helpful. Is it one of those things where I don't know I should, if I'm part of the 0.4% that's screwed, I would know?
What do you mean?
If there's, some kind of horrible, harming spirit,
I would know. If it was a horrible and harming spirit, how long have you been in that apartment?
It's been just over a year.
Yeah, you'd know by now.
Because these
negative entities, negative-type entities are... They're extremely strong, extremely violent. They come in different... An inhuman entity is just something that's never walked the earth in human form. So now that opens up the door to angelics. I don't know your religious beliefs, but angelics would fall under that realm. Demonic-type activity. Incubus, succubus, known as sexual predators, which you can look up. They've been talked about since Roman days. You also have elemental-type activity, which is like nature spirits. Those all fall under an inhuman-type haunt. But those things are all extremely strong. They're extremely aggressive. When it comes down to a negative type of human haunt, a lot of times if it's women, they'll feel that they're getting grabbed, getting in and out of the shower. They'll be held down, and things of that nature. So you haven't had any of that. And usually when that happens, it's because it's trying to suppress you. It's trying to break down your will, your inner strength to defend yourself. And you know, also you see a lot of that sort of happens when it comes to people who have alcohol or drug addiction. Those things tend to show up there a lot of times because the person's will is already beaten down.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, goodness.
This is so fascinating. Sam, I think you're good.
I think so.
Even if you put the flower down, which I still highly suggest because Jason said it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard that part of the conversation.
Well, I'll gloat about that.
So I think you should do that. But even if you were to see footprints, you know, nothing's tried to harm you so far, so
no,
you're probably fine.
I'm still nervous, though, because remember when I first moved in, I had an experience that we talked about on the show.
Would you like to say what that experience was?
Not really.
But you should, though.
Mm-hmm. I feel this is a safe space.
It is.
Half the people I describe this to, and by half I mean 94%, look at me really funny. But I will say it here, and that's what I'm going to do now, i.e. the following.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the greatest to this I've ever heard, but go ahead.
I'm trying to convince myself to still change the subject. That's why. All right. So when I first moved in, I've always been a little chicken little. That's no new news. But when I first moved in, I started to feel odd when I was approaching my hallway. So my apartment, I felt fine. But when I started getting toward the hall, open the door and walking downstairs, I would just have that weird feeling like there's a shadowy kind of figure watching you. Granted, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, so I'm sure that doesn't help. But still, I would get this weird feeling. There are a few times where I'm turning the corner and walking down the stairs. I'm like, I swear to God, I saw something. And I'd look back and there's nothing there. Of course, there's not, Sam. Keep going. Whatever. I brought it up to people, and I felt like it was either a self-fulfilling prophecy where I was freaking myself out more, or it was actually liking that I was talking about it because I felt it more. And the straw that broke the camel's back was I would always feel safe once I was out of my apartment, immediately. So I'm like, okay, might have been the fire, a person, it happened in the hallway. Well, I was on the corner waiting for my ride and I was totally relaxed because, again, I'm safe. I'm outside my apartment and I just feel this looming thing really quickly come up and just chill over the side of my shoulder quick enough where I whipped my head around and I went it was right there. And then there was nothing there. And that was I started shaking. And again, I wasn't looking for anything. I was totally relaxed.
And the original scared, sort of uncomfortable feeling you felt originally was in the hallway?
Yeah.
Where the puddle is now?
Well, the puddle is in my apartment.
Near the hallway.
Near-ish the hallway. I have my apartment's 600 square feet, so everything's near the hallway. But kind of near the hallway.
Okay.
I don't like this, guys.
So when it comes down to that, when in the hallway, are there fluorescent lights in the hallway?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, that's one question. And does it have any of the fireboxes that have the flickering lights that light up during the fire?
Not that I've noticed.
Okay. Well, for fire alarms and stuff.
Right.
See, one of the big factors I'm asking on that is there's a thing called EMF hypersensitivity, and there's electromagnetic fields. Now, there's a proven scientific fact that magnetic fields can create things like hallucination, nausea, fatigue, paranoia, the sense of not being alone, and so forth. So a lot of times fluorescent light systems or fire alarm systems actually will give off high enough magnetic fields to give you that feeling.
That's fascinating.
It's a real thing. You can look up EMF, and it's an electromagnetic field hypersensitivity. And we've been talking about that for, pretty much 20 years, just because we've been able to solve cases by people who've had paranormal activity in their house or these feelings go to their house and realize that they're using this old alarm clock that's magnetic fields are through the roof on. You replace their alarm clock, you solve their ghost issue. So this does happen, and it's a true thing. I'd recommend looking into that, because again, with fluorescent lights or fire alarm systems, old wiring, depending on, you know, it could be 20, 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff can lead to high magnetic field and create that issue.
Okay. So see, Sam, I think you're good.
Okay.
For now.
Thanks a lot, Kathleen. Jeez.
For now. I mean, things really start going bad, let me know. I'll gladly come out and take a look.
If you get like a phone call in the middle of the night from what sounds like a squeaky possum, that's me having a panic attack.
It's not a problem at all. My phone's always on. If you have any other concerns with it like that, just let me know, because I can get out there. I've got other people who can come by and spend some time there trying to see what's going on and go from there.
I love this man so much.
I know, right?
I get emotional. I feel safer.
Jason, you're incredible. You did this on such short notice. Thank you so much.
Where can people read more about you or plug your social?
The show that you do live streaming. Tell us everything.
Well, actually, we do a nationally syndicated radio show. It airs on like 80 stations across the U.S. Through Entercom and Westwood One. They can look it up at beyondrealityradio.com. They can also head over to the TAPS website. It's the Atlantic Paranormal Society.com. And we get about 1,000 case requests a day. The site averages about 93 million visitors per year.
Jeez.
You got to remember, Ghost Hunters aired 150 countries. So,
and you had all the, you know, you had the spinoffs. I mean, you gosh.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and endless knockoffs that have been out there ever since the show started in 2004.
Yep.
So
guys are the OG. I was telling the women, I'm like, Jason is the king. Like, he is the rock star of this world. So so I'm not surprised you get that many hits. You guys are legit.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. And we're just a bunch of people who enjoy what we're doing and try to do it from more of a scientific and a disproving aspect. Anybody can say something's paranormal, but where's the proof to solidify that claim? And by saying that and not having enough evidence to back it up, they're not helping the field. They're hurting the field. And I mm-hmm. think that's what it's been all about.
Jason, thank you. Jason Hawes, you are the best. And if you ever need three awkward women to show up and awkward up your party, you now know three awkward women.
Hey, I might take you up on that offer. So.
We will awkward all over any party we
You don't even have
to.
A choice. We only have one speed.
Thank you so, so much, Jason. I hope you have a great day, okay?
You all too.
We'll bye, Jason.
To
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Wow, he's great.
I'm in love with him.
Yeah.
He's the nicest guy.
I still have him on.
Shut up.
Sorry.
So when's the arranged marriage, Bethany?
Oh, because gosh. I think he might be married. I don't even
he's
know.
He's literally perfect for you.
But I also want to, so of course, Jason Hawes, I want to thank him for doing that with us. I mean, literally such short notice.
Yeah, thank
And also,
you.
I want to give a shout out to my friend Dave Schrader. He is the friend who hooked us up. And Dave does an incredible podcast called Beyond Darkness. Mm-hmm. And you can find that on, I listen to it off of iTunes, but it's on everything. And he's just the nicest guy in the world. He and Jason Hawes get mistaken for each other a lot at events because they look just and sound a lot alike.
That's funny. It must run in the business then.
I think
with
so.
With that look, you have to get into this field.
Yeah, yeah. So follow them, support them. They're both really incredible people. And Sam, I think if this proved anything, it proved that you're probably without a ghost.
Okay.
And even if you are, it probably would have killed you by now.
You know what? I feel better knowing that. Thanks, Bethany.
Hey, you're welcome.
Yeah, and I'm also happy that other people, I'm sure I'm not the only one that have these smaller, and I'll put that in quotes, issues of like, I'm being watched.
Yes.
Like, I hope there are people who are like, oh, I have a fluorescent light.
You better set up a camera.
No.
I'm going to come over and
so
set it up for you.
So hardcore, no, it's not on the table.
You have to know. How can you sleep at night
you
not
have to
knowing?
Know. With heavy medication? I don't know. I'm just not going to do it.
All right. Well, that's up to you.
Oh,
up to
gosh.
Kathleen and I when we come over.
Yes.
I swear to God, if there's flour and it's I know both of your bitches' foot size. It's the two of you. There's going to be some serious issues in this podcast. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in for our bonus episode. We hope you enjoyed it, and we will catch you next week.